Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you, Pat and Maureen, for sharing about mission and how we reach out globally as well as locally. And one thing I do want to point out is we only cover the first three loads for people, because if we paid for everybody's wash that they brought that night, it would just be exorbitant. How much is a single load to do? $5.75 in the large washers? $5.50? So you're looking at, you know, $17 essentially to wash three loads and then to dry them on top of that. So it is a worthwhile thing that we do there in Manor Haven. And also John Wesley, even though we don't have saints in the United Methodist Church, one of my favorite days when I was in seminary at Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary was at the beginning of March, March 2nd, because the Lutheran Church has named John and Charles Wesley as saints, and that was the day they celebrated it. And I always loved going to chapel that day because I got to be a proud Methodist among a bunch of Lutherans. But as we remembered those who have gone before us, a lot of times when we think about saints from the past, we think a lot of times of martyrs, or at least I do, of those who have died in the faith. But with them also are the saints of today, those of us who live in the faith that we have been taught and instructed in. And we have what Pastor Romy read this morning, the Beatitudes, and those are more for the living saints than for those who have died, because the pronouncements of Jesus' blessings here are offered in the present as well as the future tense, not in the past tense, because blessed are, for they will. Now, the term that is used here by the gospel writer, it means blessed, fortunate, happy, and privileged. But doesn't it seem kind of wrong, though, almost like a square peg in a round hole in the context of these statements about the people who are actually blessed? Because each of these statements contains, to me, a healthy dose of irony. Clearly, the poor in body and spirit, the mournful and the meek are not fortunate to be in their present circumstances. Because the poor in body and spirit, the mournful and meek, these folks technically aren't the ones we would consider happy in the sense we ascribe here. In the early church, the happy and blessed ones oftentimes referred to the martyrs, those killed because of their faith. And it's hard to picture a smile on their face as someone's about to be martyred, yet blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Jesus declares. But how can God allow blessedness to be associated with such unpleasant and awful things? On the one hand, it's not. The present state of our affairs, our reality today for believers, may well indeed include poverty and a broken spirit and humility and mourning. But Jesus says, blessed are they, but clearly not because of their circumstances. Their blessing lies in being a part of the kingdom of God that exists both in the present and in the future. For the are and the will that we read today prove to us that God is at work in the present world, bringing the kingdom to completion. I mean, think of an instance where God, where the Spirit has played an active role in our lives, even if we were unable to realize it at that time, until we were able to reflect upon it. So these are and will be saying, show those within the present kingdom of God who are in difficult circumstances will be blessed when God brings about that new creation we hear so much about. But that hope they have, however, is not merely one looking towards the end times. It occurs in the present, where people are found living according to God's kingdom values. For this is true for the faithful who are humble and poor, and it is even more evident among those who show mercy, strive for peace, those who are pure in heart, and who will endure persecution for Jesus' sake. For the kingdom of heaven is not only for the poor in spirit, but for all who are indeed sanctified. Both John the Baptist and Jesus declare the kingdom of heaven has come near, and the signs of God's kingdom are the people who live according to its values, which are radically different now than even just a few short years ago, for they further assist in bringing the kingdom about when we demonstrate mercy and when we work for peace. For the signs of God's kingdom are the people who live according to its values. Beloveds, we are the ones who assist in bringing the kingdom about when we demonstrate mercy and when we work for peace. Such work is never for a single individual, a single saint to accomplish alone, but is aided and enabled by the King of the kingdom who makes all things new. Because if we are sanctified in Christ Jesus, that means we are saints, but that it is Christ who brings about all the possibilities of goodness. This means we have to align ourselves with the chorus of people who have entered into glory before us and have been sanctified by Christ, people who have lived, but more importantly, people who do live in happiness or in difficulty and have found their hope in Jesus and made their way as part of the kingdom of God. The other week, last week, in talking about environmental justice, I said we don't need one person practicing environmentally aware practices perfectly, but instead we need 1,000 people who are trying to do that in some degree, in some fashion. That is when the change that we so desperately need can begin to arise. One person acting with kindness and civility in the Stop and Shop parking lot won't make much of a difference, will they? But if out of those 280 parking spots, yes, I counted them, and let's say the parking lot is half full because I'm an optimistic pastor, at any given time, that's 140 cars, what if just half of those people in the parking lot drove with hearts of kindness and civility? I hate to trivialize it so much, but sometimes we need these radical examples to really open our minds to the possibilities of what God can do through each and every single one of us. When we join the saints' work, God's work, in the present as people who live according to the values outlined by Christ, and our blessings, which reside both in the present as well as in the future. Because first, we are living within the reign of God, sanctified by Christ, a part of our faith beyond our grasp or understanding, yet we fully know we rest in God's hands. We're blessed to belong to the kingdom that is moving ever towards a new creation, and we are blessed to live and act in ways that bring that kingdom about. And finally, we are blessed because as members of this kingdom, we will receive that great privilege that awaits all who remain faithful to God's work here and now in our Lord's creation. Amen. Thanks be to God. And as we continue to work towards the upbuilding of God's kingdom here and now, I invite you to turn to page 17 to the great thanksgiving as we take part in the sacrament of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right, a good, and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you formed us in your image, and you breathed into us the very breath of life. Yet when we turned away, and when our love failed, yours remained steadfast. For you delivered us from captivity, and you made a covenant to be our sovereign God, and you spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.